Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 1st, 2018, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's we are reading out of the Big Book on page 152, chapter A Vision for You. We're going to read through two paragraphs today, starting with paragraph one. We have shown how we have got out from under, and then it ends with, and so will you. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Valerie B., the 12 Traditions, Cindy D., and reading the text today in support is Kathy Jo P., Pia S., Sherry K. B. Welcome to Thursdays in November. The reference number, the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, that would be October 31st, 2018, and the share ID number is 12125, 12125 for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting. This morning, the meeting's share ID number, that would be for Thursday, November 1st, 7 a.m. meeting, 12129, 12129. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Valerie B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning again, Valerie. Give us a star one, would you, for unmuting?
Hello. I'm sorry, I'm reading away thinking you can hear me.
Hi. Hey, Valerie, there's a lot of background noise. Is there any way we can adjust that?
How's that? Is that better?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks for the shift.
Okay, great. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Valerie B. I will now ask Cindy D. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning again, Cindy.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, everyone. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Cindy D. OA preamble. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what I wanted. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted by pressing star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 152. We're going to read through the first two paragraphs today, and they begin with, we have shown how we got out from under, and then ends with, and so will you. And I will ask Kathy Jo P. to open up the discussion today by reading those paragraphs and sharing her experience. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. We have shown how we got from under. You say, yes, I am willing. But am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum, like some righteous people I see? I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find the fellowship, and so will you. Oh, so it says that we have been shown a way out from under, and I have heard that Bill almost named this book A Way Out. And what are we under? We are under the grips of a horrible spiritual malady of body and mind. we show up in all different types of bodies, whether we are way more than 100 pounds overweight or underweight, or some of us come in looking at an ideal body weight. But all of us have suffered with the consequences of living in the grips of a disease that can kill us. And that's what we are getting a way out from. And it's just not the physical. It is so much more than that. Here it says, a life that is stupid, boring, and glum. And I found probably all of my fun and happiness in food before I came here. I never knew, how can I be happy without food? How can you have a celebration without food? How can you have Halloween without food? And I am finding out that my happiness is not from food, and it's not from losing the weight. My happiness is from the connection that I get with the fellows that I work with in this program, and the new connections that I have in my families, in my work, and in my life. I want to share, and I've never shared this before on the line, I don't think, but in 1991, I had a grievance with the Catholic Church, and I got a very large settlement for sexual harassment. And even though I got the money, the priest that worked with me to do the settlement, I still struggled with. And I saw him, and every time I saw him, my body would creep with yuckiness. And I called him about 7 years ago and tried to make an amend to him when I did a half, I'm going to say half butt, fourth and fifth step. And I hung up, and it didn't go that great. Well, this Sunday, I went to church because my sister was in town, and we went to the church where she got married, and there he was on the altar. And he shared that his mother had died a couple days ago and that he buried her that morning. And I heard God say, greet him after church. And I started to cry as I listened to him talk about the blind man, and I realized I was the blind man. And after church, I gave him a small hug. And I walked out of there realizing he's just another human being doing the best he can. And I'm at peace with him. And that's the miracle of this program. And if you want to say that's glum, I guess I beg to differ. And my life is exciting, and I am in my best years. And it gets better every day by working this program and working on the ways that I can stay out from under through the steps 10, 11, 12, and working with others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. You're on page 152 in the big book today. The chapter is A Vision for You, reading through the first two paragraphs today. Paragraph one, we have shown how we have come out from under. That ends with the end of the second paragraph, and so will you. It's open now for other folks to comment their experience on those paragraphs.
Magdalena, yeah, W. from Florida. UK.
Ida.
Magdalena.
Okay.
Ida.
Eileen M.
Lisa J.R.
Eileen and Lisa J.R.
Donna B.
Amy G.
Donna and Amy, that's it.
Julie E.B.
Oh.
We're going to catch you later, Julie K. We'll get you on the next roundup. We got Magdalena W., Ida A., Eileen, Lisa J.R., Donna, and Amy. Okay, good morning, Magdalena. Got it all squared away here.
Good morning. Magdalena from the UK, compulsive overeating stricter. Thank you for letting me share. So, yeah, I've off place, well, before it, and in another one. And so it starts saying, we have shown how we got out from under. Because of that, because I placed and wished for the end, I was so willing. I could not believe the amount of everything. To give an extent.
Magdalena, you're kind of cutting
Hello?
In and
yes.
out. Is there any way that you can adjust?
Yes, I'll try.
Every once in a while, we're
Is
missing about
better?
One or two or three of your words. We'll check it as you go along in your talking. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to hear what you were wanting to say.
That's okay. So what I was saying was I've known the jumping off, how we got out from under. I was very willing when I came in because, I wish. And I couldn't believe that people were there wanting to talk to phone numbers, to be willing to sponsor for free. Than that wishing for the end. And I can remember thinking, this is not to do with the food fellowship, but another one of thinking I might be confined to a life where I will be stupid, boring and glum. What I've discovered through working the steps is the reverse. I now admire people that I would formerly have called boring, because I admire people who, I sit and watch them sometimes, maybe in a shop or in a meeting, somewhere where I meet them, watching them being orderly about their lives, watching them having emotional sobriety, watching them say what they'll do and do what they say. For example, in a prayer group that I'm in, they're not stupid, boring or glum, but it's what my addict, the addict in me that needed everything to be exciting, and the other side of that was the doom and the gloom. You know, that was my filter that I looked through. And these righteous people, now I try to model myself on those people. I try to follow the principles in the steps and the tradition with others. I don't really know how to behave in a group. It was all about self-centered and me. So it's always a challenge what I rise to with the help of God when I'm in a group situation, to be like those righteous people I see, you know. And yes, there's definitely, I have, you know, and people that walk this path with me. And this fellowship, this recovery and this fellowship is something, it's a gift from God. It's a gift, somebody like me, what I believe that other people, that I used to think were stupid, boring and glum, or they already know how to have fellowship and how to live a recovered life. And thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Magdalena W. Ida A., you're next, and then Eileen will come after you. Hi, Ida.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much, Melanie. Ida here, a grateful compulsive overeater from Northern British Columbia, and really grateful for all of you, and grateful that I can say, I have a fellowship, and yes, I'm willing, and there's not a but after it. This book says, yes, I am willing, period, but, and I don't have a but anymore. And so what happened, and what I'd love to share about the message for me today is I had a bunch of bad news this week, and I have had many allergies in my life, and one of them has been to the telephone. And I did not have to be allergic to the phone yesterday. I reached into my toolbox, and there wasn't food. Weird on Halloween, weirdly weird, but there wasn't food. There was a phone, and I'm kind of like, huh, well, let's see how that goes. And 9 of you beautiful souls talked to me, like, oh, my gosh. And this buildup of human emotion with every phone call went down. It really, really, really works. And so after 9 contacts with you beautiful people, that's bigger fellowship than I've ever had. In my months past, it would have taken me 9 years to make 9 calls. But you are getting through to me, and because of you, I have a program, and bless you, and I did not pick up on the gluttonous day of the year because of you. Thank you. I'm a believer, and I have a fellowship, and anybody out there, we will too, because wow, if I can do it, wow. Anyway, I'm done. Bless you all.
Thank you, Ida. Eileen S., you're next, and then Lisa J.R. will come after you.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Melanie. It's great to be on the line with all of you. I have to tell you guys, I just got home from a graveyard shift that I've never worked before, but I knew we were going to be reading these paragraphs today, and I was like, when I get home, I have to be on the meeting because I have to share about these 2 paragraphs because I love them so much. And firstly, am I going to be stupid, boring, and glum if I'm abstinent and working the program? I was glum in the food. I was glum in the food. Probably boring too, because mostly all I thought about, even if I pretended that wasn't what I was thinking about, but definitely glum. And I don't feel glum today. The job I have right now is amazing, and it's hard sometimes, but it's totally as a result. I just celebrated 6 months of abstinence in visions, and I've had many years before, but this just feels more solid to me. And life will mean something at last. And here's the line I had to share about. It's one of the first lines I ever underlined in the big book. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. That's a promise. That's a promise. And that has been my experience. Even in the crappiest days, and I went through a couple of relapses, having this precious way of life being given to me and a relationship with a higher power I never wanted or thought I could have, that guides me, is a miracle. It's a miracle. And I love how it said, have you a sufficient substitute? Yes, there is a substitute. And there's a substitute, and there's vastly more than that. It's the fellowship in OAAA, but it's beyond that to me. And I was able to sit at my job tonight, last night, or tonight, whatever day it was. And I had a lot of quiet time. And a friend of mine, rather than a lot of people, when I told them I have to work graveyard, they were like, oh my God. And truthfully, it was the only time, it's the first time I've ever done that. And there was a part of me that wanted to go, oh my God. But a friend of mine just helped me have a different perspective. A friend of mine who's in program. And she said, maybe you could think of it as an adventure. And you know what? It was an adventure. I watched a movie. I watched some stuff. I did a bunch of stuff. I brought my big book with me. I got to read that, and I got to be of service. And so back to the most satisfactory years of my existence lie ahead, and they continue to as a result of working this program, having all of you show me how it's done, hearing you be examples of a design for living that I want to live. And the things that are coming into my life right now are, really, the last 6 months I've been abstinent, has dramatic changes happened in my life. So I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and just grateful to be with all of you. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen S. Lisa J.R., you're next, and then Donna will come in after you. Hi, Lisa.
Thank you for your service, Melanie, this morning, and thank you, everybody, for being on the line. Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered by God's grace today. I love this. I got to go in on this. I mean, we could camp on every sentence practically, but I love it. Your imagination will be fired. And the word fired is funny. It can mean two things. It can mean being dismissed, or it can mean being ignited. And I die laughing because when I think of my imagination in the disease, it was horrible. I projected, I judged, it's a disease of perception. So boy, I knew when I walked into the room, everybody was giving me the hairy eyeball. And, anytime somebody said something, I would project. I was absolutely just consumed with negativity and this disease. And then I did the steps, and a miraculous thing happened. My imagination, my old imagination, got fired. It was dismissed. It was pink slipped after, the doctor's opinion, because I realized, wow, this is a disease. This isn't because I'm nuts or, just less than. So I fired my imagination right then and there, and I started living a new way of life, working in 10, 11, and 12 later to have an imagination that, yes, it's beautiful, it's loving. I no longer project. I no longer waste my time in that old imagination. Now my imagination is, how can I help others? How can I be of service to my husband? How can I be of service to my church? I laugh because I was the dinner party girl, and I actually had a dinner party ministry where I would make, you know, have people get together so that families within the church could really get to know each other. And I was all about the food. And now my imagination is different. It's about fellowship. It's about enjoying companionship and fun. So thank you so much, everybody, for helping me by lighting the lantern with your shares over the text. And thank you for your service, Mel. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Lisa J.R. Donna B.
Hi, this is Donna B.
And then Amy will come after you.
This is, can you hear me?
I can. I just talked over you a little bit there, though.
Okay. This is Donna B. I'm a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Denver. And I, too, was drawn to the line, your imagination will be fired. It reminds me, especially every morning in my morning prayer and meditation, I ask God to redirect my thinking, to divorce my thinking of self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. And I've also turned the line on page 86 into a prayer, which is, God, please place my thought life on a much higher plane, and please clear my thinking of wrong motives. My imagination used to be filled with really negative thinking about myself, with perceptions of myself that were inaccurate. And as I continue to work through the steps, and as I continue to work with others, and I continue to sit in prayer, it is revealed to me that there are still a lot of misconceptions about myself that rule my life. I took on labels as a child, as so many of us do, and I don't have the power to take those labels away from myself. They're so deeply ingrained. But I do have the ability and the willingness to bring those labels, imaginary labels, into the light and to talk about them with my sponsor and my fellows, to really probe, you know, admitting that I am in a position of fear, admitting that I'm in a position of not knowing, and really, for me, it feels like begging God to reveal to me what I should be. This also reminds me of the set-aside prayer. I've heard so many different versions, but the one that I have written starts with, God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself. And I add to that, God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, about who I am and what I am and what I should be and what I think I should be, and so that I really can have an open mind, a new experience, and that I can see the truth of who God would have me be, the truth of what God sees, that if I am meant to be of maximum service to God and my fellows, if I'm a tiny, tiny little piece of this machine that is creating truth, what role am I meant to play? And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Amy G., you're next. You want to press star one, and then we'll open up for others to comment on those paragraphs, and we'll start that lineup with Julie E.B. Good morning, Amy G. You want to press star one for us to hear you.
Can I be heard, Melanie?
Now you can. Now you can. Yes, you betcha.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm Amy G. from Southwest Washington, and I am so grateful to be in this program. Haven't been in Visions very long, but I've been in OA for 10 years, and I feel like this book is brand new for me, which is so wonderful. I had a wonderful time last night giving out candy to just happy, grateful little kids. And I remember that when I was younger, I was in a family of compulsive overeaters, except for my younger brother. And no matter what the celebration was, I would get the evil eye from my mother that I shouldn't be eating this and shouldn't be eating that. And I think we gave out candy, but I didn't know it. I just, you know, reached into the bucket and put handfuls into their little bags. And I was, and usually I would be, glum is a simple word for it. I was depressed about Halloween or any other celebration because I either shouldn't eat, couldn't eat, or I would sneak food. I would say, I'll clear the table, and I would get to the kitchen, and I would eat off the plates or eat from the serving dish or whatever there was. And that just made me feel depressed. It made me feel bad. So I'm, where is the line? Stupid, glum, and boring. I'm becoming, really quickly, I'm becoming less of that. Because I'm enjoying the people part, not the food part of celebrations. And it's a great gift. And I'm making outreach calls and finding wonderful people who are thrilled to be able to answer my questions and help me. And I'm very grateful for this program. And I wanted to put out that if there's anyone who's available for outreach calls between 10 p.m. and midnight Pacific time, if you would text me and tell me that. It's Amy G. in the state of Washington, and I'm in the directory. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Okay, thanks so much, Amy G. So we're opening up now for others to share. Julie E.B., I have you first in the lineup. Who else would like to comment on those directions?
Freya H.
P-I-S.
Freya Pia.
Kathy.
Dorita P.
Did you hear Kathy?
Yes.
G, is that what I heard? And Dorita.
Yes, thank you.
And then one more. Uh-huh.
Cindy D.
Cindy. Okay, we'll go with that and see how that goes with time. Okay, Julie E.B., Freya H., Pia S., Kathy G., Dorita P., and Cindy D. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in the state of Colorado. I'm just really grateful to be out from under so much weight that I carried, that I thought I had to carry alone, that I put on myself. Life was heavy going for me. I like to say I lived like all my nerves were on the outside, life just felt so painful to me before I found this program. And I just felt life was happening to me. And I tried to be joyful, and I tried to find happiness. I searched in a million bites. I searched through the lives of other people. I tried to find happiness controlling other people. I tried to find happiness managing. If I just managed well. And so we come to these words, to be out from under. Is it boring and glum? It was actually quite boring. I was quite boring when I was in my disease. I would call people or talk to them, and I would always have a litany of my problems and my way of viewing things. I'd always be arguing or making sure others were doing what I thought they were supposed to be doing. And honestly, that was pretty boring. I was pretty self-involved. Sure, around times of food, big meals, celebrations, holidays, I thought the food brought us something, but there was all this stress associated with preparing for it and making the show go off the way I wanted it to. And so now, how can I get along without the food? What is the substitute? The substitute is the fellowship. And by the fellowship, first and foremost, I have fellowship through this big book with my higher power, who tells me I'm fine the way I am. I'm a growing, unfolding child of the universe, and I'm still discovering things about myself, and my most satisfactory years lie ahead. In my relationships with others, by doing service in this program and by trying to work with others in this program, I learn things about how to function with other people and how to be thinking of the needs of others instead of self-serving, and giving without expectation of return instead of being self-seeking, and how to separate the truth from the false and look at reality and deal with it. Some of the tasks might sound boring. The routines might sound predictable. Much of my food is quite the same many days in some ways, but I am released from care, boredom, and worry. I have the imagination to say, what's next? What will my higher power show me today? What will life show me today? And I'm not alone. And so it is never boring because other people are different than me and they're always interesting. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Freya H., you're next, and then P. will come after you.
Okay, now I'm unmuted. Melanie, can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Okay, thank you. This is Freya H., compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. So grateful to be reading this, and that, you know, just that line, I know I must get along without my substance, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? I feel like this is such a, you know, just like a question that I hear a lot of newcomers posing, you know, in one way or another. Like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but how am I supposed to do this? And for me, I think about what was my substitute? You know, like, I had to, like, fully put down whatever I was using, you know, whatever my fix was, whatever my solution was, in order to actually find out what that substitute was going to be. I couldn't, like, think it through and then, you know, like just think, oh, okay, so this is how it's going to go. So now I'll do it. Like, I didn't have any, there was no safety. I had to be totally willing to just trust that, okay, it works with these other people. I trust that God's going to be there for me too when I take the plunge, you know, when I take the leap. And I feel like I'm falling into, I don't know what, you know, that feeling of like surrender, which is so terrifying, but also such a relief of like, oh, I get to let go. So in order to discover that substitute, I have to be willing to just act on faith. And for me, what did I substitute? You know, the things that I tried to substitute were, for a long time, it was arrogance. You know, this feeling of like, okay, I've got a program, so that means that I never have to be fat again, and I probably know how to do everything better than everybody else. You know, like I substituted that. I substituted ego. I substituted self-reliance. I substituted self-will. And what I got was not the, you know, these promises that they're alluded to. I didn't get released from care, boredom, and worry. I didn't get that feeling that life will mean something at last because I was still relying on human power. So I'm so grateful I get to keep coming back and that and be shown that there actually is a I heard someone in the earlier meeting say not just a sufficient substitute but a replacement, because I don't need to go back to, you know, anything that's going on. You know, I don't need to go back to my old coping mechanisms. So it's scary letting go and finding that sufficient substitute, but they say it so clearly right here. You know, the most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find a fellowship, and so will you. It's saying it actually will happen for you. And that was, you know, my secret fear was that it, you know, I would do this thing and it wouldn't work for me. You know, like I would just still be stuck in whatever I'm stuck in. And God continues to reveal more to me as I grow along this, you know, grow in this recovery. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Freya. Freya H. Pia S., you're next, and then Kathy G. will follow you. Hi, Pia.
Thank you, Melanie. Hi, Melanie, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, this is Pia S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Parkland, Florida, and I'm so grateful for being on the line this morning. It's just these shares, they just are so amazing, and it's hard to follow, but I'm going to see if I can say something that can resonate with someone. There are these two paragraphs, they say so much, and I remember when I came into the program through a therapist, and she suggested all of these things that I had to do, and like go to meetings and sharing on meetings, getting a sponsor, working the steps,
yeah, getting a food plan and not eating my binge foods. That sounded so boring and so hard. And it was really, it just like, I didn't know if I was able to do it. But then as I started doing some work, I became willing. And I definitely had a fear of being boring and glum. But that was how I was in the food. I was boring and glum because I was isolating and binging and being depressed. And I was also boring and glum when I was on all of these crazy diets and I couldn't go places and I couldn't enjoy life. So today I eat sanely. I have a sane, I'm sane with the food, type of foods I eat, but I'm also sane with the way I eat those foods. And yes, there is a substitute for all of these, for this way of living, for being in this glum place. And I love that it talks about that. It's vastly, it's huge, it's enormous, this fellowship. And it also, for me, it also includes, like, God is part of that fellowship. God, always, it's in this vastness. And we get, and I get released from care, board, and for me, worry is fear of living. And life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. How great is that? I mean, my life, being in my 40s, my life is not over. It's just beginning. And I am so grateful for that because my life didn't have any meaning. And it actually do now. And I'm so appreciative of that. And yeah, that's what I had today. And thanks, everyone, for being there. Thanks, Melanie. I pass.
Thank you, Pia. Yeah, hi, Pia S. Kathy G., you're next. And then Dorita P.
Thank you, Melanie, and thank you for your service today. And good morning, everyone. So grateful to be here with you. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. And how great is it to be on the morning after Halloween filled with joy and peace and hope? There's so much hope on this line this morning. I thought, what kind of a gift is this that we have? I'm honored to be sharing on the line with you. I mean, the recovery that we have in this meeting is a true gift, and it really is a sufficient substitute along with the steps and with the presence of God and the power of God. And I'm so grateful today. And like Freya was saying, I remember when I first got on this line, I had never seen a demonstration of hope of recovery to this extent like I did on the line. And it became a sufficient substitute to get me through the steps before this spiritual awakening happened and the promises started taking place. And I really believe now that my most satisfactory years are ahead. And I had the fear, as I said, like Freya was saying, that this might not work because I had tried so many things. But I really believe that this program works. It says on page 88, it works. It really does. And all of us that are claiming to be recovered today are having those promises take place, and they're completely available for you. You just have to do the work. And for those who are suffering this morning and maybe did eat Halloween candy last night because it was too much for you, there is hope. So I just would urge you to keep getting on this meeting, get a sponsor, work the steps like written in the big book so that you can join in the recovery as well. So thanks for letting me share. I hope you all have a great day. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy G. Dorita P., you're next, and then Cindy D. Hi, Dorita.
Thanks, Melanie. Hi, my name is Dorita P. from Cleveland. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Okay, I'm taking myself off a speaker. It's a privilege and honor to be in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, and I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, Melanie, please time me because I'm full. So it says we have shown how we got from under. And it's somewhere else in this book. I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it. It talks about that we took up our beds and we take up our beds and walk again. And that was me. I was, I guess, somewhat confined to my room, I guess. The only reason why I would leave my room or my apartment is to get food. So, yes. And then what other part did I want to comment on? Have you a sufficient substitute? Yes, there is a substitute, and it's vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, this fellowship in Overeaters Anonymous is an awesome, awesome thing. I was having a little trouble yesterday, and I called, I think I talked to several people, and most of the people I talked to are in the program. Probably, I would say probably 99% of the people I talked to are in the program. And these two particular people I talked to yesterday, they were really helpful, and they really lifted my spirit. The one lady, she doesn't attend meetings anymore, so it was real wonderful to call her. You know, even though she isn't attending meetings anymore, but she really lifted my spirit. And the one lady, the one girl, she was in Cleveland, so I'm in Cleveland, and she was in Cleveland to do a internship. So she was here just for a short time, and she was struggling. And I took her to her very first meeting, and she called me because I'm a contact person, and she trusted me. I know a lot of white people that don't trust black people, but she trusted me enough to get in my car and everything. You know, I guess she was just going strictly on faith. So I'm just really grateful for this program. You know, this book, excuse me, gives us three options if we're not working a program: death, institutions, and jail. And I've been to jail a couple times. I've been institutionalized more times than I could count. And I was suicidal. So that stuff is out there for me. And I just lastly want to say about Halloween. You know, I used to live for that stuff. And, you know, I didn't even think about it. I wasn't around it for one thing yesterday, and I just didn't even think about it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. Cindy D., you'll be the last share for us today. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie. This is Cindy D., recovered in Texas. And I'm probably going to be repeating a lot of what's been heard, but there's been so many wonderful shares. And when I first came back to program, you know, I was in that place of being stuck and hopeless and didn't know what would work. I knew I had to do something, and I was willing, but I too was afraid that it wouldn't work for me. And in my recovery, I'm finding all these promises and many more to becoming true. And I was thinking this morning that, you know, I remember when I was still in my disease that if I got feedback from someone, whether it was at work or in my personal life, I, you know, would take it, but I would resent, you know, the heck out of it. And now I seek feedback, and I want feedback because I want to grow and I want to learn. And I'm fairly newly recovered and just sponsoring my first couple of people. And I was really fearful about that, but I'm finding that I am enough and I do have things to share, that I've learned so much, and I have so much that I can give to someone else. And I see these paragraphs as real promises of things that are yet to come, and it makes me so grateful and so hopeful that I have even, you know, more satisfactory years ahead of me, and that I have found a fellowship of people who understand me. You know, they get it. I can say anything to them, and I can trust them with my secrets, and that I have a place to go when things get tough. And you know, I was very fearful of using the telephone. And it's funny, my husband said to me yesterday, "You're on the phone all the time now. What's going on with this?" And I just had to laugh because I am on the phone and I am reaching out and I'm trying to be of service. And I'm finding such pleasure and it's such a gift to be part of this. And I hope that my pink cloud lasts for a very long time. And that's all I have to share. Thanks for letting me share today, Melanie, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you, Cindy. That's Cindy D.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you.
That will then conclude the sharing portion of this meeting and the recorded portion of this meeting. So hang with me while we close out this part by reading the closing, which is page 164 of the Big Book. And thank you to everyone that shared today. And we'll follow that with a serenity prayer and then move on to the next section. P.S., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only on page 164.
Yes, thank you, Melanie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until death.